All right, how's it going? My name is Logan. I'm a recruiter with Driscoll. So this is maybe a little different than hawking our latest wares, although I really appreciate that. Very technical knowledge, a little beyond where I'm at, but need to thank BioChambers for hooking me up with a USB drive because mine got left in here. And if you see a green one running around, it's probably mine. A couple of Driscoll's presentations. So we're asked about innovation and kind of what's going on with our industries. So I figured I'd put together a short presentation on kind of updates in what Driscoll's is looking at today and some innovative approaches we're taking to dealing with some of the challenges that we have. Quick background, and if you heard me talk about recruiting talks, this will be a little review, but we're a family-owned company, been around for well over 100 years. We do develop proprietary varieties of four different berries, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, and blueberries. We are selling them all over the world, and we have berry patches, those four berries grown on nearly all over the world as well. Our desire is to bring those that taste of summer to people year-round worldwide. We do have a history of innovation as a company. There's a few things that I've said earlier in the week, but if you haven't seen those before, in the 40s, Driscoll's, our founders were really founded the Strawberry Institute in California, which was developed research and breeding. We were able to patent the first strawberry in the 1950s. 1970s, our independent farmers came together and started shipping under one label, the Driscoll's brand, which is unique. And then our packaging has a series of innovation with a recognizable yellow basket, which was unique. The clamshell was something that Driscoll's brought out, and so that's something that people may not be aware of. And then so bringing us a few decades forward on kind of what's new and what changes coming. Things that I wanted to talk about was really introduction of harvest automation into fresh berries and tabletop strawberry production and substrate production specifically is what that's looking at, as well as analytics and some data collection. I heard a gentleman when I first walked up talking about data and loads of data and oceans of data. We have the same issues, and so I think in relatable to what I am doing here, if we have data scientists out there and people that are familiar with how to sort through the mess to get something that we can use, it's really in need within our organization and in a lot of different functions, not just our R&D groups, but we do that across our business. Let's see. So why are we trying to change? Primary change for us is increase in labor cost. There is shortages of agriculture labor. Most people are aware of that. In California, where our headquarters are at, we have rising increases up to a $15 an hour minimum wage, as well as decreased hours for overtime. So that was a new thing. So our farmers are really costing them a lot more to grow the same fruit. Efficiency and use of resources and sustainability is also a focus of ours. Strawberries can be a pretty water-intensive crop. Moving into a substrate sort of model or a benchtop model solves a couple issues, but water and resource efficiency is definitely one of them. And then making better decisions, that's really touching more on the data side of things. So I have a video, hopefully this loads and works well. It's kind of cool. It's about a minute and a half. But this is actually a partnership that Driscoll's has with a company called Agrobot, which is a group of engineers out of Spain that have developed a mechanical. That's not the one I wanted. We'll see. I may have to give this a second. I'm not sure what the Wi-Fi looks like. But if it loads here, it's really cool. You get a and our purpose is not really to replace workers. The Agrobot system, and I don't know if that's going to, I don't know if it's going to load here. So I'm less hopeful the longer it takes. But you guys should all go YouTube Agrobot. It's cool. That's kind of what it looks like in action on the other video that didn't load. Is really cool. Essentially, what this machine is able to do is harvest mechanically with robots. They take pictures. They have cameras on about 30 different arms working all in unison. So they will circle plants. They will find fruit. They will snip a stem and load it into a receptacle that would come up on a conveyor. So essentially you're replacing that one single worker who's doing that work and running a box back to a truck and then grab another box and running back. Get a couple guys on there, and it's way more efficient. And like I mentioned, it's really not to replace people. We don't have the people to replace. So it's another way to look at trying to affect or deal with a harvest shortage or labor shortages. Interesting enough, Driscoll's is kind of stepping out of their normal range. We've partnered with some competitors to look at this technology because it's an industry problem, an industry challenge. And then, like I said, the machine equipment itself is actually produced by a third party. So we're very interested in exploring a variety of technologies and seeing what's going to be, what we need to use. And my guess is, and I think our leaders would probably agree, a variety of these changes and a variety of these technologies will need to be used in the future to be able to meet demands. This one I loaded differently, so I know it'll work. But this is kind of cool. Little less robotic, but still very interesting. Has anybody seen Strawberry Harvest in life? Anybody drive by and watch it? So when I would drive to work in the morning, and this is before 8 a.m., you would see a line of people running from a truck to the field and back and forth carrying boxes. Full boxes go back and empty boxes go back out to the field. It can be a pretty long distance. If anybody's familiar with continuous improvement models and lean and efficiency, it's pretty inefficient to run back and forth in a field. Plus, you have issues where people can trip and fall. You can damage beds. I mean, there's a lot of issues. So that's a pretty simple device. It's a cart that is operated on its own. It follows the workers along, and they're able to grab boxes and put them on there. It saves a lot of time, but that's a pretty simple solution to helping with harvest, and it doesn't replace people once again, but it does help them be more efficient in what they're doing. And so I think we're at a point where we need these little efficiencies all around the business to be able to be successful, and I'm sure in everybody's business we're all looking at the same sort of challenges. Tabletop strawberry production is something that we really don't do in the United States. It is grown in that way commercially in the United Kingdom, in Europe, in Australia, and other areas. For us, we are looking at a substrate bag. You can kind of see on the by my pointer on the side in there, but really an elevated bench with a trough, coconut fiber bags with strawberries in them. So it's near a greenhouse type of system. If you're familiar with hydroponic tomatoes or that sort of system in a greenhouse, but we're doing it out in a field. We're not investing in full greenhouses. We do have coverings on them, so high tunnel sort of systems. But there's a lot of advantages to going this way. Besides our main focus is people will come back to pick fruit standing up, and it's really hard to get them to come back, and especially for strawberries, bending over to pick. We have data showing raspberries, blueberries, blackberries, those other ones that people can stand up. Workers will come back, and they'll pick those year after year. There's a decline in those who will come back for strawberries because it's so hard on the body. That's one way to affect it. And really, if you can even tie that into our breeding programs, if we could develop a variety that had longer stems maybe that hung lower, that would be easier. Or maybe a smaller canopy and bigger fruit. I mean, there's a lot of these things that we can solve or try to solve through breeding programs, but something like that on a cultural side is a relatively easy, maybe not cheap, so it's an investment our growers have to get used to, but there's some added benefits to it. The labor-friendly side is really the main focus and reason for it. Resource-friendly, water efficiency, we're giving the plants exactly what they need as far as nutrient management as well. We do incorporate automation or greenhouse sort of systems for irrigation. So we have systems set up, really computer systems out in a field that would monitor and be able to automatically irrigate the crops. Included with that is remote monitoring. So we have people that will get on their cell phones. They have alerts if there's issues with the plants. So we can maintain control, I guess, over that plant without being in the field. There does require a bit of expertise and training. So that's kind of where we're at today. And so we get excited when people have a background in greenhouse production or met a couple people who do some substrate strawberries. And I guaranteed them an interview. We will interview you if you have substrate strawberry experience. So if you got it, it's awesome. So that training is really unique. So it is found elsewhere in the world. And so our challenge is getting people in the U.S. trained up and into a system where they can train others and really help our growers switch into this sort of growing model. Our agronomists will need to have some sort of background in that pretty much going forward if we're going to hire anybody. And then the automated irrigation fertilization systems, remote monitoring, which I spoke about. Analytics and data-driven decisions, talked about data. It's everywhere. We, you know, in those sort of scenarios, you can imagine just getting data from a pH or an EC or something in there. But when we do breeding, our breeding programs are traditional breeding, so we don't use genetic manipulation. So we cross with an octoploid like a strawberry. You get thousands and thousands and thousands of varieties looked at every year. So we develop and take a lot of data, and we need that data to be able to be used. So we hire data scientists to help sort through, help create ways to run specific programs so we can sort through and make decisions on where to go, either our breeding programs, really, what do we do next, how do we use that, and how do we make those decisions. And so we do collect areas, all areas of it. I mentioned the other day in a recruiting talk, and if you look around at the job descriptions around here, I don't think there's one on here that doesn't require statistics as part of a requirement to get a job. We're at that point where we look at it in finance, we look at it in analyst, we look at it in supply chain, we look at it all over, because all areas of our business are generating this data and we need to know how to make decisions. Some of the decisions, if you are familiar with the breeding programs, you may not see it, but if you take the data over time, you can tell a difference and a statistic. So we know the difference is there. We just have to sort through and be able to find it. And so our plant breeding groups, our operations, even our human resources, they ask us to take data, and we want to make better decisions on what we're doing, but we have to have a baseline and understanding where we're at to be able to go forward. And our finance groups definitely use a lot in with the data. So if you are interested in joining Driscoll's, I'll give you my quick plug, and I won't go too much into that there, but we do have open positions posted on our career site. Driscoll's is a pretty awesome company to work for, proud employee. We have a lot of opportunities, and we like to employ people who are passionate about farming, passionate about berries. We'll make you passionate about berries if you're not already. But we like to get people in that want to do well and want to work for a good company. I would ask if you are interested to apply the positions that you're qualified for. You got to have minimum requirements. And then we have a pretty competitive process for most of our positions. But we like to hire great people and hope that there is interest on your part. ASHS is an important meeting for us to attend. And it's because of the level of scientists that come here. So thank you. I'll answer questions if anybody's got any questions, or try. As far as the individual berries themselves, it's a great question. Our finance guys will probably be able to tell you. We have the largest market share in raspberries, so that is we're pretty much the raspberry guys around the world. Strawberries, there are some competitors, but because we are global, you know, I have friends sending me pictures from Australia, and they're like, "Hey, Driscoll's is there." And I grew up in Watsonville, where we're headquartered. And so it's interesting to see that mix, but there are definitely competitors in some of the other categories, blueberries, blackberries. We do pretty well in strawberries, pretty much all of them. I think blueberries probably has a little more competition right now because it's a newer crop for us. And we are still, we have some public varieties out there that we grow. So blackberries and blueberries aren't 100% proprietary right now. So.
From a consumer point of view, most gardens keeping quality.
Yep. Yeah.
Always,
yeah, and we have post-harvest scientists as well that do look at a variety of way to hold the fruit. The challenge we have, and if you've seen berries being picked or harvested, clamshells in the field. I've opened up clamshells, I've got a leaf. We can't wash the fruit because it won't hold. So for us, the cold chain on post-harvest is super important. So if you buy berries, rush them home and put them in the fridge. Wash them when you're ready, or let them sit out for a little bit to come up to room temperature, then eat them. But don't let them sit out because they won't last. And so that's it's definitely a challenge. And our products are very perishable. Raspberries have such a limited life, but we've got some really good varieties, and we have an excellent supply chain. And so we've done a lot of work to help get fruit cold and keep it cold. So that's important. So.